Big Smoke Music Weekly.
It is episode 9 of Big Smoke Music Weekly Series 3. Last time out, we heard from Brighton punk outfit Guru, as well as a brilliant new solo artist, Hongza. We also spoke to Tom McConnell, lead singer of Novelty Island, and we asked him the all-important question about his new single. We've got to start, obviously, with the new single. Tell us about it. Was it just born out of missing pubs?
Yeah.
In this episode, then, we'll be speaking to Marzikans about their amazing new debut album and an endorsement from one of the biggest names in British music. We'll also catch up with Glasgow five-piece Walt Disco, all about their latest release. It's me, Luke Scanlon, in alongside Dave Bowen once again. Let's get into the music then, with the latest tune from Bull.
Shake it up, but you mean everything to me. And then the grass is always green. Like a bad dream. I said the grass is always green. Dumb. I never thought you'd be so numb to the things that I see. Oh, but the grass is always green, like a bad dream.
There it is, the first track of episode 9, season 3, Big Smoke Music Weekly. That is Bull and Disco Living, their second single. Dave, welcome to the show.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome. How art thou?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Yeah, not bad. I feel a bit better that we're doing this like fortnightly now.
Yeah, I know. We're actually getting bit back on track now.
Rather than bi-monthly. but yeah, man, I'm... Huge fan of that, because I did when we sent the tracks over today, I did put their first track in, and then you're like, oh, I like this. I was like, oh nah, let's give Disco Living a spin. But it is, yeah, as I said, their second release, and yeah, great little band, just signed to EMI as well. So I think even though two singles released, they've got quite a little bright future ahead of them.
Yeah, definitely. I like it. It's kind of like that slackery, grungy kind of sound to it, but it's nice. It's quite exactly upbeat, right, though, at the same time.
Yeah, cool. That's what I mean. Well, also their first single, Green, and this one, Disco Living, I think both of them are like, even if you're in the worst of moods, if you put that in, you're like, yeah, my life is actually a 70s sitcom.
It really does just like laid back. It just makes you want to chill out and makes you feel a bit more upbeat than it.
Yeah, man, I love it.
It's and the great. Start, at the start. I don't know if you would have picked up on this. You probably would have. It just, it really, I really thought it was sounded like The Jam. That's entertainment.
Good show. I hadn't picked up on that. You honestly
listen to that, and when you first played it, I was like, "This is just a jam." I thought it was that's entertainment.
God, I just saw like loads of algorithms flash before your eyes, Dave, when you told me that. Like you just cut through the center of the
matrix
universe.
All around my head.
Oh my God! It's Weller in disguise. But yeah, mate, I love it. They've actually got a gig lined up for October, I believe, at Shacklewell Arms.
Ooh,
so,
interesting.
It's like I messaged you the other day. I brought the album in advance and a gig ticket via Banquet Records in Kingston. Great record shop, by the way, who do really good deals for gigs. That's meant to be a gig with the Magic Gang in October. Former Big Smoke and Focus artist, of course, but it is a bit, isn't it, about gigs?
You just don't know, do you? Yeah, I remember you messaged me about it, and I was like, it seems like a good deal, and maybe that's why, like, they're just trying to really plug people to get into buying obviously their album, but as well as tickets.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
It is just like, is it going to go ahead? Do you know? Is it just going to be postponed again and again and just like, oh.
I know, exactly.
Can't be dealing with that, but exactly. You just have to wait and see, like.
We'll be all right, Dave. We'll get there. Don't worry. It'll just be me in a room in a Magic Gang. anyway, last episode, we brought you three separate Big Smoke in Focus interviews as part of our Ones to Watch episode. In this episode, we'll be bringing you two more Big Smoke in Focus chats, and we'll be bringing you the first one now. This is with Walt Disco, a brilliant five-piece from Glasgow.
Big Smoke in Focus.
First question, I guess, we just want to chat about the new single, Hey Boy, You're One of Us. So how has that been to release? Because it's quite like, I think a lot of your stuff is quite out there, for want of a better phrase, but that seems a lot more, even like rhythmically, it's a lot more at you and in your face.
Yeah. It's been to us releasing that for so long now. And it's a song that like we opened all of our sets with pretty much like the whole second half of last year. Every set we played, we opened with it. And like, even if people didn't know us, that song was like enough of a like kind of attention grabber. So, and I'm so happy with how the recording turned out as well. Like, I can't imagine it any better. It's been an absolute joy.
I was going to ask you about that, because like the production value on it is really, really slick. So has that been a change in like something you've had when you were recording, or is that just something that's built up from experience that you've arrived at that sound?
I definitely think like as we've from release to release, like and working with different producers and figuring out stuff about production ourselves, it's definitely like getting where we wanted to go. But like that song was like, there's some bits in it from the demo which we did like March last year, and then like we recorded it around January, and then there's a sample like just before it kind of drops, there's a sample of like a yeah, and it's like it's a sample from a live video someone took on their phone at a gig we played in Bristol like
two weeks
before we recorded. Yeah, and like it was just amazing. The funniest thing ever, and we were just like, we need to put this in. So like all those little things are just like really make it kind of, I don't know, like working with Thomas McNeice as well, who plays bass in Gang of Four.
Oh, great!
And he's like the biggest secret weapon in like
that's a big secret
Scotland
weapon.
And the UK. What was that? Sorry,
that's a big secret weapon as well.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So like all of the bass tones are straight away amazing, and like he was really, really great in adding kind of like all the nuances and stuff that it kind of makes it separate from other stuff around at the moment.
And adding that little bit of audio in there, like you said, just because you were like, bang, that's hilarious, we want that in there. Does that happen quite often when you are like recording or laying down some tracks? Do you just kind of think like spur of the moment, you'll think of something kind of last minute, but it clicks and works and feels right at the time? Does that happen quite a lot?
Yeah, I feel like, there's always little bits and pieces that were like, even if we just know about them, but other people don't. But I also think at the same time, I think if you just like stuff every single song you make with these little things, and they stop kind of being fun or interesting. So
there you go. Perfect. Yeah. I was just going to ask as well, I don't know if you've heard it, because obviously we're just guessing here, and I'm sure people do this, and it's very annoying when people guess your influences and stuff. But on Hey Boy, like, again, me and Dave were talking before you came on, like, we do hear a little bit of Adam Ant come through on that. I don't know if you've had that, and it kind of ties in. Yeah, and it, I guess it kind of ties in with how he used to portray himself. It was quite theatric and kind of, there's kind of elements of drag and theatre in it. Is that all kind of things that are rolled into what you guys do?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I remember seeing like the Stand and Deliver video on like some Top of the Pops compilation at Christmas when I was like maybe 12 or something. Like, just those things that you don't really forget. But yeah, I definitely think that's a huge part of it. I think that's probably the one thing we've all missed from not playing live shows, is like not having a reason to get all dressed up. And but
there you go. Well, you sat at home. Yeah, I was gonna say, you sat at home in the same clobber.
Yeah, I know. But Adam Ant's definitely a big influence. It's just so much fun. Like, I think you really have to struggle to like not find some sort of joy in just how silly and fun it is. But yeah, at the same time, it's like really powerful, and there's like, it's amazing music.
So, how do you go about when you are, say, if you've got a gig coming up, will you plan quite far in advance what you would look as a group and what you're wearing on stage? Or is that just, do you kind of just all go for whatever you feel?
A lot of the time we'll all just sort of start getting dressed at the same time in the dressing room, if we have one. A lot of the time it'll just be a toilet. And sometimes we're just like, oh my god, we're on that, like we didn't talk about this, but it's going well. And then other times we're just like, no, you can't do that. But normally by the end of the week it's just like, fuck, what's clean, like.
yeah, exactly. It's like when me and Dave used to live together, if we ever turn up, if we came downstairs, we're both in a white t-shirt, I'm like, nope. No, that's not allowed. That is not allowed. And then one final one, Dave, I was just going to ask, I guess you've probably seen like Sam Fender doing the first socially distanced gig and stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't really understand all the hate for the Sam Fender thing, because like, he obviously can sell those many tickets, and like, he's got fans, and all the people there, I'm sure, had an amazing time. So like, I think it's a great idea. I do miss like proper gigs, but yeah, I it should happen again when it's safe, but like, I really really hope it happens soon, just for like the sake of bands and the venues especially. But yeah, I just miss it. I'm really really excited. I think though that like, there'll be such a hunger now for live music. Like, I think when all these bands go back to tour, like, I think that this sort of thing we all took for granted, especially when you're in a band, like you actually forget like how great it is. But like, yeah, especially living somewhere like Glasgow, like any single night of the week you can go to, like, there'll be at least one or two gigs you could go to. They'll probably be pretty good with like touring musicians and everything. So yeah, I think from now on, like, I won't take that for granted quite as much.
For sure. I think me and Dave were quite in a similar boat, because we're lucky through doing this, we get invites to gigs and go to gigs and stuff. And sometimes you do, we're like, not another one. But now we're like, yeah, oh my god, I need one. So I think in a way it's done people good, because you miss what you don't have, don't you? So
yeah, exactly.
But there you go. I think that's all we have time for, Dave, anyway. But thanks ever so much for joining us. But I ask everyone to come on to introduce the track we're playing. We're going to play Hey Boy, so if you want to give it the most ridiculous introduction you can think of, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, hello, it's David from Walt Disco, and this is our new single, Hey Boy, You're One of Us. Once upon a time, we were boys like you, pressed our clean white shirts and polished our brown shoes. But then we spent some time a little out of here.
Magazines locked away in such dreams. I'll teach you the ways of love. Red velvet, double cream,
Yeah, now your baby wants a queen. We'll teach you the ways of love. I'll be afraid of us. Hey, hey, you want us. Hey, hey, you want us. Hey, 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 hey. Tight corset, learn to breathe. Give me a swirl, boy, and let me see. Aphrodite, it's all it's over for all to see. It's chasing the razor, I'll be afraid of us. Hey, you're one of us.
Woo Disco there. Hey boy, you're one of us. That is their new single that landed on July 29th. Dave, great, great band. And just, it's so interesting speaking to a band that just clearly very expressive, and it's just like quite a pure level of fun to it rather than overthought. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like they just want to go out and enjoy themselves, and that's how they do it. So there's nothing more to it, which is quite nice.
Exactly. And I just, there's absolutely no glamour. Yeah, we kept changing toilets. That's what I like. But I dread to think what outfits we'd be picking out, man, if we were in a band.
We'd go like extreme. Like, they'd probably do quite a more stylish drive. We'll just do over the top. Yeah, I'm a woman. This is what I think I'd wear.
I reckon we'd look like a cross between like Kiss and the Wombles. What? I don't know what part of my brain I've got that from. But
I'd be like Doc Cotton from EastEnders or something.
There you go. Perfect, man. I think that's a good look, right?
It's interesting, though, the whole... There's like almost a scene coming at Glasgow at the minute, you know, with Ninth Wave and Lucy and the Best Boys we were talking about before. And it's like, it's interesting that's come out of
the
city all at once. And it's
all kind of... It's all quite like New Romantics in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, ooh, definitely. Well, it's a bit glam as well.
Yeah, definitely. But I really like it. And like, well, they say everything moves in cycles, don't they? But it's... yeah, I think it's a great, great thing, and especially if they're all coming out at the same time. But yeah, the Adam and the Ants influence is just like right up there, like that track as well, isn't it? So you remember them playing that track, do you, when you saw them at the House of Vans?
Yeah, so I listened to a couple of tracks, and not a lot, and I've never seen them live, and I was sort of, I'll check them out. And it's exactly as I said, it's quite a good track to start off the gig.
Yeah.
To get people, because I think the gig was, you know, a class of 2020, so it might be a lot of people who haven't seen them or heard of them before, and it's definitely one to, like you said, grab their attention. And so, oh yeah, these are all right, actually, because it's, you know, quite a big track as well. So
yeah, exactly. I do wonder that sometimes, you know, when you see like even like a bigger act and you know their back catalogue, and they come out and they've got this crowd like absolutely like on the verge of like delirium, waiting for them to come out, and then they start off with like an obscure B-side track, and you're like, what the hell is going on?
No, just do the big one,
I know, exactly. But it's so true as well, though, what David was saying about missing gigs and wanting to get back to it. I think so many people, we have been bad in the past where we're like, not another one. But it's so true, though, isn't it? It is like the bread and butter of life in London.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, you because you're not even living it, so you don't even, you're kind of apart from it at the minute. But
well, that's what I've said to you. I'm literally like, for me, London is, there's literally no point when there's honestly no point. Like, it's the equivalent of like, if I was dating you, Dave, I'd take you to the cinema all the time because we don't have to talk. And that's what I go.
You go for a meal where we just don't talk all throughout for the meal, and then we go to the cinema. Yeah. There's good dates, those, aren't they?
Instead, I just ply you a beard and take you.
This isn't your other podcast. We're not meant to be talking about dating, mate. All right, shush.
Dating me, dating you. Also available on other major podcast platforms. But yeah, Dave. Anyway, let's get into another tune then. Let's get back to the music and hear this latest one from Cabbage.
Cut the boy before it breaks ya. There's many wonders to behold.
Cabbage there with something I say to Dave a lot. Get Out of My Brain. That was their single that landed on 5th of August, the second single they've released this year after You've Made an Art Form from Falling to Pieces. Dave, all over that one. And it's coming off finally. I think it's been 2 years since their last album, Nihilistic Glamour Shots. And how about this for an album title? Coming out on 25th September, Amanita Pantherina.
I like to make it easy for you, and I don't know.
Do you know what? I just really shuddered then because I sounded like an English bloke ordering off an Italian menu.
There's a definite Brit abroad in it. I'll have dos cervezas.
And just for a little starter, I'll have a free Amanita Pantherinas if that's what I'm the governor. Yeah, Dave, tell me about that tune because that was one of your ones.
Yeah, it's a big one, isn't it? I mean, I love their last stuff, but it's almost gone a bit more... They were post-punky, but now they've gone a bit more... I feel they were like almost at the forefront of this new wave of it, you know, around with like Shame and Ice Age and all that, quite a few years ago now.
It's at least three years.
Yeah, and it's good to see them back. It's gone a bit more electro, and I think that was a bit of a homage to. There seems to be a lot of tracks homaging Manchester in their hometown.
Mm.
And apparently that's a homage to Sean Ryder, and it's definitely can hear that Black Grape kind of influence in it, a bit of a swagger to it. It's big, man.
Yeah, mate, I absolutely love it. And I think Cabbage, they're one of those bands, aren't they, that like, they kind of operate in that like mid-tier in a way, don't they? Do you know what I mean? Like, pretty much everyone who knows indie knows Cabbage, but they like... they haven't quite ever.
Yeah, definitely. They haven't gone to the next level. I don't know if they don't want to, or they're quite happy where they are. Or
I don't know. It's weird because, like, maybe they just unfairly don't get the recognition they deserve. But like, if you do think about the bands like Shame and that, who have had like critical acclaim, then it's just like it's a bit odd, isn't it? It
makes
what it is holding them back. But hopefully, this new album coming out, Amanita Pantherina. On 25th September, hopefully that is the one that takes them to that next level. Because that's three albums. That's a lot of material now behind you.
Yeah, and it's almost you've got to see how they're progressing. And that's really interesting thing to see on their new album. If they are they progressing, and is that what's stalling them, that they're not really going to the next level and they're evolving as a band, or they're just sort of happy where they are in their wheelhouse, stick to that. And
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Anyway, I think. Time now for a bit of this.
Dave's Music News.
Down to the favourite place in the Big Smoke Music Weekly headquarters, the music desk. What is there today?
Touching on a little bit what we were talking about earlier about the Sam Fender gig, and it's the big new normal. I don't know, I hate that phrase, but kind of is, you know, you've done a gig in front of 2,500 people in sort of segregated little blocks, and
it was weird, wasn't it?
It looked weird. It looked something like a bit like a where you keep sheep or something.
There's a sheep dog just keeping you in your little pen. Try and step out.
I get it, and I mean it's good. Like I say, like it's funny, Dave. From what Disco said, he doesn't understand. You know, he's getting a lot of almost grief for it, but it's obviously maybe more, it's got obviously more of a summer thing because there's a big outdoor area.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
you know,
what
it's got limited time, and kind of segueing onto that is that Clapham Grand are saying that they're going to trial more gigs like the Frank Turner one they did last month.
I'm definitely intrigued because, well, it's up in Newcastle, isn't it? At the Virgin Money Arena or whatever the hell they've called it. But Libertines played there as well. And it did look good, and it looked like the band were into it. Which I guess is, I think that is the main thing with a lot of it. The whole time, even a show that is a normal show, if the band aren't selling it themselves anyway, it's never going
to
work.
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost if they come across as a bit like, oh, we have to do this, and it's not actually what we want to do, then people are going to be like, oh, this is a bit crap, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What next, Dave?
I just want to give a shout out to my favourite bands from when I was a younger. I think, and yours as well. I think.
When I was a youngster.
having a comeback is The Cribs this week.
I saw that.
I was reading an article saying that they were seriously considering their future, so I'm happy to see them back. New single, which is great as well. So
same, and I actually like the tune.
And last one, a little funny one, you know, I know you love them. A brewery in Canada has issued an apology after releasing a new beer, a pale ale called Haru Haru, which they believed that meant the word feather, because they wanted to
change
it. Haru Haru, which is a Maori term, and they believed it was a feather because the beer was light as a feather. But they've actually found out that the phrase means pubic hair in Maori.
Imagine that on the branding. Yeah, our beer's so light, it's as light as your pubic hair.
So they've had to apologise and had to recall all the beer and rebrand it.
That's incredible.
That's hilarious. And I just wanted to know what you'd name your beer if you
were. My beer? God, mine would be like, what would it be? Angel Tears.
Angel Tears.
What would yours be?
Oh, no, I'm asking you, mate.
Oh, fair enough. But do you know what?
I wouldn't have one. I'd have cider anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah.
We talked about this before, I think, as well. What cider would be cool.
Yeah. That's weird, though, because you'd think that they'd just, like, use that as a big PR thing and just keep it that name.
Yeah, I know. But...
And make it, I'd just keep that and just put underneath the beer we accidentally called pubic beer. But that's a horrible thought in itself, fermented pubes.
I think if I, anything does I know I'm drinking pubic hair, I just don't want to know. I think it would be in my brain. I was like, this doesn't taste good.
Oh, no, yeah. That's when we find out beer and Moretti actually means something else and I'm drinking it. Christ. All right, well, that's all we had time for on this week's version of...
Dave's Music News.
Right, Dave, back to some tunes.
Aye.
How about this one then from... Billa Queens.
Oh,
Pillow Queens there with Handsome Wife, their track that came out in June, which seems like a ruddy lifetime ago. Absolutely beautiful little song, that one there, Dave, and is from their upcoming debut album, In Waiting, set to land on the 25th of September. And before we get into talking about this track, Dave just came up with what he thought it was a funny track, because he just reminded me it's the same day that Cabbage's new album comes out, and he said, Pillow Fight, Cabbage Fight, am I right?
I think we'll let the listeners decide who they actually thought came up with that, because I think we all know that was straight out of Scanlan's
my
special. Scanlan special.
Joke Book of Wonder, do you mean?
Yeah.
Dave, you...
a pillow cabbage fight?
Dave, you need to start appreciating the fact you're in the presence of a comic genius.
Oh, God.
See?
Never heard anyone laugh at their own jokes as much as he does.
Dave, I told you, that's the trick. If you laugh, people have to laugh.
They're laughing at you, mate. At you, not with you.
I'll do it again. I'll just do it again. that song, like, I think I said to you, like, I'd heard them, but, like, ages ago. They have been around. They've been
8 years ago, you said, didn't you?
Slip of the tongue. I said 8 years, and I said I discovered them before they knew they were a thing. But I'd kind of forgotten about them. But it's great to hear that they're back and with such a strong sound, but it's not like strong in a sense that's overbearing. It's just like really like emotive. And it's one of those, I don't know, just kind of like we've had it before. We've talked about this where some bands have that ability to like capture an everyday feeling. And it's not necessarily the lyrics that reflect it. It's just the feel of the song.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's such a song where like you listen to it and you get, you listen to some tracks, you're like, oh, I listen to it, it's on the back, you get really into it. That's how I found that you're like, it's one of the ones you really want to put loud and really like immerse yourself in it. And
yeah, like, it's like the equivalent of taking your brain for a walkies.
Yeah, isn't it?
Like, I'm absolutely...
That's how I imagine just giving like a bit of like syrup into your brain, good feeling syrup, just direct it straight in.
Is there a copyright available on that, Dave? Good feeling, sir. What's going on?
Directly in there.
Directly on the old noggin. But yeah, mate, all about that. And yeah, as I said, that debut album for the Dublin outfit coming 25th of September. So 100% look out for that. Now, I did say we would have two Big Smoke In Focus artists for you today. We've already heard from the fantastic Walt Disco, David Morgan from That's Bound There. But we're going to bring you this one now.
Big Smoke
In Focus.
Yes, this is my chat with the frontman, the lovely lead singer from the lovely Leeds outfit, Marzikans, James Newbigging. So James, we can't really go anywhere without talking about this ridiculous tweet from a very famous band that has helped you out.
Yeah, little small band called Coldplay tweeted us recently. And, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're in the music industry. They're a band and they're doing pretty well.
Not a very big band, I hear.
No, just a cool 23 and a bit million followers. So yeah, from a tweet about us are pretty wild.
Exactly. I was going to say, when you got the tweet, was it like, I bet you, all the boys in the band were messaging each other, but how many people, because you obviously were aware of it, but how many people were messaging you going, have you seen the tweet from Coldplay? Oh,
so many. And just, yeah, it's one of those things where it, like Coldplay tweeting about us, people care about that more than our album. And fair enough, that's what we did. So, you know, let them. And yeah, getting so many messages off. It's the kind of thing where friends and family who don't really know much about what you're doing and, you know, they might not see achievements that you're like, oh, we're doing this, because they don't know, kind of get what's going on in general. You know, they're not kind of tuned in, but Coldplay tweet about you.
That's something anyone can relate to.
Oh, then they're doing all right.
There you go, mate. Absolutely amazing. So, Ursa Major, the debut album, amazing album, and I've honestly listened to it so much. And I was going to say, yeah, I think it must be well over about four or five years I've listened to you guys, but you've been going longer than that. So how would you say your sound has kind of changed in that time? Because I think if you could relate it to more tracks like Absence, and there's a bit more of a slower side to it, it's kind of mixed rather than full steam ahead.
Yeah, I think in general, we've just kind of grown up a bit in general, which is, you know, everyone has, but I feel like us growing up and our music has kind of gone just in sync, and we've allowed ourselves a bit more freedom to just do what we want to do and explore. We're very keen to always, if we find a new instrument, use it, or at least use it for inspiration, and then, you know, go off something like that. But we're always trying to find new things that'll just be like, oh, that sounds cool. And we're always, you know, we're always as well, if we try and do the same thing over and over again in rehearsal, which we don't do that often, but if someone's playing a similar riff, you're like, hang on a minute, pal. I know that. So we're always kind of keeping each other on our toes and just try to keep things as new as possible.
Yeah, cool. And because, obviously, as I said, well over 5 years, you guys have been on the road releasing stuff. Now you've done it and you've got that debut in the bag. Is it still like, feel like the ultimate thing to arrive at?
Like, massively. And I was genuinely a bit worried about that because, you know, like you've said, it's been so long in a band, and I've been building up the debut album in my head for so long. Like, we don't want to rush it. We've always wanted to wait for the right time. But just the reaction we've had this week has proved all that to be a load of nonsense, because it's just, it's gone down so well. And people obviously care when you release singles and EPs and stuff, but the step up for this album, it's like everyone's just gotten behind it so much. And very, very grateful for it, basically. Sat here at home, being very grateful all week.
Exactly, mate. Perfect. I can imagine it's such a nice feeling. And like, let's, I think just for your fan base as well, me included, fanboy, it's just like we've said before, you as a band, just, there's no fan band barrier between you. It kind of feels like you're sharing this as like, more as like a big group of pals rather than artist and a fan base.
And that's what we are as a band. Like, we're just a group of mates who take the piss out of each other. You know, like, we just like to have a good time. And however that is, if it's making a stupid video that's got nothing to do with music, then we're all on board. If it's doing anything, then just, I think we get bored easily, so we want to just stay as busy as we can. So
exactly. Well, mate, I love the videos of, was it Dick Pastors? The record label?
Yeah, so he's been giving our campaign a well-needed kicking up. So
And who came up with the name for Dick Bastard?
I think it was Rob or Ollie. I think it was Rob. So Rob loves doing like characters and voices and stuff like that. He's always in the van, you know. One of the hardest things is wherever we go on tour, it's like, Rob, please don't do the accent.
Yeah.
And I remember once when we toured with Clean Cut Kid, the first thing we went to meet him, he just switched on a Scouse accent and started chatting to him like, oh, come on, Rob. But he always nails it and sometimes convinces them.
So. I bet he does get away with it. I bet he does. But and then going back to the album and the release of it as well, and obviously it's a massive thing for you guys. Tell me about how big it is for you as an independent band with your debut to even have, let alone doing it, let alone actually might happen, just to have even the chance to break into the top 40. What does that mean for you guys?
Well, we didn't expect to be a top 40, and we still might not be, but, you know. But, yeah, it's just that kind of, you know, the top 40 album, you know, I'll be able to say that forever, I guess.
You'll be dining out on that.
I'll be in pub when I'm, you know, I'm 70s going, oh, when I lad, I in a band, top 40 album we had. And so basically, that's all I want a top 40 album for. So later in life, I can go, oh, when I were a lad, I had a top 40 album in charts, I'll have you know. So
exactly. But in a way, I guess that is what your career is all about, right? The stories that you can tell when you're sat in your rocking chair.
Exactly. Like, we always say, regardless of, you might not earn the most money in the world or do whatever, but we'll never forget anything we've ever done. And I wouldn't have spent my time any other way, because it's just been, like, we've gone over to Canada, we've played Glastonbury, we've played Leeds and Reading, and like doing all these amazing things, which I'll never forget. And a lot of people can't say they've done. So that's not that's why I do it, but it adds an extra, you know, love to it, that you feel very privileged to be able to do those things.
Exactly. I want to talk about your live show as well, because I'd say that's probably like the strongest thing that characterizes you as a band, because it is like, you know, when you've been to Marsden show, because it's so high energy and so like fun and just amazing. Like, I'm trying to think the last time I think I saw you Truck last year.
Oh, that was a great show.
That was an unbelievable show. And then I'm trying to think of the last, there was another time after that, but I cannot remember where it was.
We often meet at festivals, don't we?
We do. That tends to be it. Yeah, that weirdo hanging around by your postal van out the back of the stage. But, but yeah, how is it for those shows? Because especially when you're touring, it must take so much out of you guys. But is it more you're just so buzzing to be on stage and playing with your mates.
Yeah, that is literally it. Like, everyone says, I don't know how you have such a good time. I'm like, well, what do you mean? We're playing our songs that we love in front of a packed room of people who have thankfully come to see us. And why wouldn't we have a good time doing that? Like, we wouldn't bother doing it if we didn't, you know? Like,
exactly.
It's we're not pretending when we're smiling and stuff. It's just we're having a good time. And I don't get up. I mean, I get some people concentrate and can't smile, but
exactly. I was going to say, surely you faking that would be more knackering than doing it naturally.
Yeah, definitely. But, we also do on stage. We also have little certain things which we try and do to make each other laugh as well. Which also during key parts of songs and playing. We'll do something that one of us have done in a rehearsal room or something like that made each other laugh. But you know, on that stage setting, it's just, you're always like, why would you do that right now? I'm trying to sing it.
I can imagine Kale is the one that you could get quite well. When it's like, when it's on a breakdown and he's really focusing on like some gentle cymbals or something.
Ollie's very good at getting us all. He often, you know, you'll just do a little look at him and he'll either pull a face or do something. And just, yeah.
Amazing, man. Amazing. Back to the album, mate. We spoke before, but I just wanted to like talk about these interludes on the album, and I think it just gives it such a wonderful flow. And because I always wonder, because especially now in the age of like Spotify and everything, people do just like click on a song and like dot about the album and don't listen to it as how it was laid out. Are you like conscious of that, or do you lay out the tracks when you think, oh, someone will listen to this front to back cover?
Well, that's it. Like, we're aware that a lot of people just listen to music by playlist these days, but we are people, and there's so many people out there that listen to albums as an album, and it's a very important thing, because, you know, we wanted the interludes to kind of break up certain bits of music and also just lead into other parts of music as transitions, and they really have a point on the album. And I get if people don't want to listen to them, skip it, listen to a song, do what you want to do, but you know, like, we're there for the people that will appreciate it. And it's like bands like Alt-J, I think, do it really well. They just kind of, it frames the album, it gives you a little times to pause and reflect, and it's, and also the usually lovely bits of music, which
are
nice to listen to anyway.
Exactly, man. I think exactly the same thing. And are they things that you would bring into the live set as well?
Well, I think it was kind of inspired by our live set, because when we play live, we always have an introduction that we come on to and stuff. And then we always work, when we're in the rehearsal room beforehand, we always work transitions, so one song into another, and just little bits of music to try and
make it
more of a, not a stop, that's a song, right? Yeah. This is another song, play, finish, here's another song. Like, we like it to be more of a set rather than just songs in a row. So I think the actual album was probably informed more by our live set, because that's just what we love to do.
That's cool. Joe, next time I see you, I really want you to stop that flow and actually do that. Here's another song.
Because
then that'd be our own private joke. That'd be perfect.
I'll have a word with lads.
Perfect, mate. And I wanted to talk as well, because you mentioned to me before, like, trying to break in into this top 40 and like other bands helping each other. But someone that is probably so key to you guys and how well you've done is your brilliant manager, Rob. And he's obviously been, you've said about the shameless self-promotion, which you've got to do. It's not, I don't think it's even a shameless thing. But how good is it to, because he's one of the good eggs in music. How important has he been, A, getting to this point of the album, and B, just as a whole?
Like, fundamentally, we wouldn't be here as a band now without him. Like, in a short answer, that's it. Like, we just wouldn't have gotten this far, or, you know, picked each other up when times are bad or whatever. You know, like, he's been crucial. He's the fifth Marsican, literally. And we don't say that as just a Beatles reference. He's just always there, and we want him always there, and we want his opinion, and we want him involved on everything we do. And it's just kind of, it's kind of less like a traditional manager and band relationship. And it's just, we just work together rather than, you know, it's a unusual dynamic for manager and bands, but for us, like, we wouldn't have it any other way. And yeah, that man is the kindest, most generous man I've ever met.
He is such a nice guy. And he, when you talk about him, he just seems like the most at ease and chilled person ever. I can imagine if you guys are freaking out about something, he's like, guys, you're fine.
Well, yeah, he's good at that. But then also, when we're being a bit too calm, then he might freak out. You know, we like to balance each other out.
Keep yourself on your toes, mate, on your toes. So, breaking top 40, that's probably going to be a major thing. But what is, like, obviously, 2020 is kind of a write-off now, isn't it, to be honest? 2021, what is, I guess, back to playing live, but if there was one, like, little box that you could tick for next year, is there something that you've, like, used as a thing that drives you on through this terrible year that we've had?
For me, I don't know if it's a box ticked or unfinished business, but I'd love to go to America because we were meant to be going out to Texas for South by Southwest, which has like been one of our dreams since before we started a band. And, you know, to have that kind of whipped from under you was a bit gutting, but, you know, a lot of stuff going on in the world right now, so understandable. But to get back out there, well, not to get back out there, to get out there would be, yeah, that would be a real sweet box tick.
That bit of one. Yeah, I think so many bands, we spoke to Walt Disco earlier in this episode, they were meant to be going to South By as well. And it's just the amount of people we know, like Lauren Hibbard as well was meant to be out there. And it's just, so many bands. I did feel for everyone because I remember us recording another episode earlier in the year. I think it's a band called False Heads we were speaking to. They were meant to be going out and it was just like, everyone was just like, oh! Yeah.
Like I remember chatting to Lauren Hibbard like a couple of weeks after it all kicked off and we were, you know, kind of in the peak of everyone having a bad time. And we were just chatting, like, just, you know, almost like helping each other through it and knowing that other artists are going through similar things and just chatting honestly and open about it. Because I think as artists, you often try and just, as everyone does, you try and just show the best side of you and not the weaknesses and not when you're feeling a bit down or, you know, if you've had a rejection or anything. So for us to just chat honestly about that kind of, you know, let's face it, massive disappointment because you've been building it up so much.
Yeah.
It makes it so much more easy to handle because, you know, it's not just you in it. There's other people and not that other people having a bad time is a good thing.
Get in there. Everyone's suffering.
I've thought that that's kind of got me through these past 6 months, the fact that, like, you know, the whole everyone's in it together thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of true. When you know that you're not being... When you get it in your head that, right, I'm not being hard done by here, everyone is. It's like, I don't know, it takes a little bit of a way off for me anyway. It just kind of helps you get through it all. But
for sure,
it was really nice to have that experience of just chatting openly with someone.
Definitely, mate. And I think, it'll, in the same way, there's that togetherness with all your fans want this album, which I'm sure it will go so well for you guys because more than any band that I know deserve it. So
thanks so much, man.
Love the album as well. But yeah, mate, thanks again for stopping by. And if you could introduce the track Summer in Angus for us, we're going to give that a spin now.
That'd be great. One of my personal favourites. I'm James from Marsicans and this is Summer in Angus.
Oh, what a song. That is one that has been on repeat way too much for me, but I'm still loving it. That is Marzikans with Summary and Angus off their brilliant debut album, Ursa Major. Now, Dave, how about that for an endorsement? Coldplay tweeting about your band.
You can't get much bigger than Coldplay. I'll give them that. It's funny like how it can almost... It's such a weird thing about Coldplay that they're almost so derided.
They really
it's
do split
opinion.
It's
good, good, like amazing for them, and then almost... worry it could be bad for them at the same time. It's like, oh, Coldplay like them. Oh,
I know what you mean, but
I mean, any publicity is good publicity. That's
I think where I think regardless of like with that, I think regardless of who, what your opinion is on Coldplay, you can't deny that they're a massive band. And
for
a small band that have like they've said, they're like the only independent band in the top 40 with a debut album.
Yeah,
like, for someone who's like actually. Coldplay have essentially completed music.
It's Coldplay have actually got a good rep of repping good small bands. Because I remember they did that thing at Glastonbury a few years ago when they played a Viola Beach track after they passed.
That's true.
That's quite good. They are, they know they're big, but they've got a lot of responsibility to bring up smaller bands and highlight them as well. Hmm. So
I'd like to think that, if I was a globally internationally selling artist, I'd be doing the same, Dave. But it does make you think like... Are other bands that are that big? Are they? I don't know why more don't do it. Because it's odd, isn't it? In a way.
It's so funny. It's such an easy thing to do is post on your social media. But
yeah.
You hear like bands are in interviews and you go, oh, who you listen to? And they say these bands. But you really need to... Not many people listen to go and listen on YouTube videos. You need to really just promote their stuff on your...
Yeah. I mean,
it's most visible.
What does a tweet take? 10 seconds?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there you go. Adele, I know you're listening. but yeah, I think you're right. The choice of wording was very Coldplay. Effervescent debut album.
Yeah, you couldn't pick a better word for them to use, could you?
And the best.
That's gonna be the next album, actually, isn't it? Probably.
Yeah, my favorite part of the whole tweet the whole tweet is about 10 words long. Of the whole tweet was #, your new favorite band.
Hmm.
There you go. You can't really argue with that, can you? But so happy for the band, man. And I think like it was probably, I reckon, about 2016 when I first heard Marzikans, maybe just before. And to come from their first EP, which came out in 2014, and like such a long journey, they've had so many good couple of EPs, so many good singles, and their live performances are amazing as well. They are like the most energetic band you can imagine. Yeah, it's just so nice to see a band like grow and get to where what they deserve. Anyway, Dave, I think that's pretty much what we've got left in the tank for episode.
Yeah, I'm running on empty now, mate.
We are chatting shit. But yeah, thanks again for stopping by. Hope you've enjoyed our double Big Smoke in Focus interviews. And yes, we'll be back once again in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned. Plenty more interviews with the best upcoming bands coming your way. So, Dave, thank you.
Bitterschön.
Yep.
Skål.
That fucking Dutch lager's gone to your head. Yeah, thank you. We'll leave you on this one. Latest one from Working Men's Club. Bosch.